China has embarked on its own kind of intervention in Africa. It's been building infrastructure and securing business interests there. But it wants to do another kind of outreach. In the past 7 years, China has built 21 centers on the African continent to promote its language and culture. They're called Confucius Institutes. The World's Mary Kay Maxted recently visited one in the Rwandan capital, Kigali.
Late in the afternoon, as long shadows play across Kigali's rolling hills, about a dozen Rwandan students show up for Chinese class. One is Marianne Ayankiamia. She's been studying here for almost a year.
Because I liked it. I liked to listen Chinese, speak Chinese. Some works they do there in Chinese.
Do you think you will be using Chinese in the future?
Yeah, I think I will be using it.
Doing what?
Like teaching it, doing some music because I like singing. May I sing?
Sure. The song she chooses is a traditional Chinese song about the beauty of the jasmine blossom. I compliment her on her singing and ask if she knows that the Chinese government has been blocking online mentions of jasmine this year. It's worried about potential efforts to spread the so-called jasmine revolution of the Middle East to China.
Thank you for those news. I didn't hear about it before, yeah.
Classes here focus less on politics than on culture, says Confucius Institute director Kong Lingyuan.
Especially Chinese language and the philosophy of China. And the modern China. I want African people to know the real China. Because, you know, right now, African people, they get the news resource mainly from Western world.
And he and his government think Western news coverage of China is too negative. That's one reason China's making an effort now to promote Chinese culture and present its own point of view. But Kong says the Confucius Institutes are about more than that.
In fact, you know, Chinese language will become an international business language. You know, in the market, they have the need to learn Chinese language.
Today, the students are just starting to learn China's national anthem. Rwanda and China will mark 40 years of diplomatic relations next month, and the Rwandan students and their Chinese teachers plan to sing each other's anthems at the ceremony. The teacher, Zhang Guangyu, cues up the Chinese national anthem.
So you read after me.
Yeah.
起来。起来。起来。起来。起来.
The students move haltingly through the opening words, calling on the oppressed people of China to rise up and use their blood and flesh to overcome their oppressors and build a new great wall, a new China.
起来.
不愿做奴隶的人们。不愿做奴隶的人们。
Okay, next sentence.
The teacher, Zhang, is 28. He came to Rwanda 2.5 years ago. He says he loves it here, especially how the relaxed pace is so different from China's stressful rush. He says he's taught African students in China and finds they pick up language quickly. Many of them speak several. But here, he says, it's a little more of a challenge.
Because they don't have the context to use Chinese. So they don't have much motivation to learn. Even they learn a little Chinese, but it is not enough to apply in like a Chinese company and to communicate with Chinese in daily life.
But at least some of the students have ambitions to get there. During a break, Inab Sibamana, a 28-year-old physical education teacher, tells me he wants to go to China for a master's degree. He knows if he speaks Chinese, he may get a scholarship from the Chinese government.
The Chinese give Rwandans the chance to go to study there. So when you know Chinese, you have more chance to go there.
Another student, Etienne Tri Kumana, who has his own physical fitness radio show, says he's just interested in learning a language spoken by almost a fifth of the world's population.
From my philosophy, I'm from Rwanda, but I belong to the world. Who knows? Tomorrow I may be needed everywhere. So I don't have a real focus on China, but as China is one of the developing countries and it has technology, it has a lot of things that you can benefit from.
Already, Rwanda has shifted from using French to English as the official language of instruction. English is more useful and less politically freighted. French was the language of Rwanda's Belgian colonizers and of the French army that helped the previous government, the one that carried out the 1994 genocide. The Chinese language, by comparison, is simply seen as useful, and the Confucius Center hopes growing numbers of Rwandans find it so. The students still have some work to do on learning China's anthem. But then, the Chinese teachers have to get cracking on learning the Rwandan anthem, too. The Chinese director, Kong, thinks this is important. He says the previous Chinese director here, an older guy, didn't get along well with local people because he didn't show interest in their culture.
When I come here, I learn Kenny Rwanda, and I learn Rwanda national anthem, and I learn Rwanda heritage. So I think if you want other people to learn your culture, you should learn their culture first.
Kong, a PhD anthropologist, certainly seems to live that. He's clearly enjoying his time in Rwanda, not just spreading Chinese culture, but learning Rwandan culture too. When Kong's co-director, a Rwandan woman, shows up, he suggests they sing together Rwanda's national anthem. It's a song about Rwanda's beautiful mountains and lakes and volcanoes, about people living peacefully together. It's the anthem of a post-genocide Rwanda. Kong and his co-director sing with relish, to the delight of the students. He may just have tapped into the secret of real soft power, reaching not for power, but for a human connection. For the World, I'm Mary Kay Magstad, Kigali, Rwanda.